planet is being forcibly wedded to a Dark Lord, and the prospect of cold alien offspring issuing forth is one which gnaws menacingly at the team's fragile spirit. Please, Sal Yong protested loudly. I want to eat something today. The big combat-adept mercenary was sitting on the bench ahead of Kelly, shoulders slewed so the front of his rounded, dull-gloss head was aligned on her. Sorry, she said. She hadn't been aware she was talking out loud. This is crazy, you know. We should be running the opposite way. Life is crazy, Kel. Don't let that stop you from enjoying it. He swung his doughty shoulders back. The problem is, I'd like to go on enjoying it, preferably for decades. Then why come here? Ariadne asked. She was sitting next to Sal Yong, steering the hovercraft with a small joystick. Born stupid, I guess. I've been with Reza for a decade now, the female ranger scout said. I've seen atrocities and violence even your scoop-happy company would never show for public consumption. We've always made it home. He's the best combat scout team leader you'll ever meet. On a normal mission, yes, but this bloody thing... Her arm rose to take in the cloud and gloomy jungle with an extravagant sweep. Look at it, for Christ's sake. Do you really think a couple of well-placed maser blasts from orbit are going to knock it out? We need the whole Confederation Navy armed with every gram of antimatter they've ever confiscated. Still got to have somewhere to shoot that antimatter down at, Sal Yong said. The Navy would have to send the Marines in if we weren't already here shoveling shit. Think of the money we're saving the Confederation taxpayer. Beside Kelly, Theo broke into a high-pitched chuckle. He even sounds like a monkey, she thought. Regular Marines couldn't handle this, Ariadne said cheerfully, guiding the hovercraft round a rock. You'd need the Trafalgar Green Jackets, Special Forces types, boosted like us. Bunch of knuckle-shufflers, all theory and drills, Sal Yong said witheringly. The two of them started arguing over the merits of various regiments. Kelly gave up. She just couldn't get through to them. Perhaps that was what made mercenaries so different, so fascinating. It wasn't just the physical supplement boosting, it was the attitude. They really didn't care about the odds, staking their life time and again. That would make a good follow-up story back at Tranquility. Interview some ex-mercs. Find out why they had quit. She loaded a note in her neural mnemonics. The pretense of normality. Keep the mind busy so it doesn't have time to brood. The hovercraft arrived at the Qualheim itself after another 40 minutes. It was 4 or 5 times the width of the tributary, over 250 meters broad. Both banks were overrun with tall trees that leant over the river at sharp angles, plunging aerial roots and thick vines into the water. Snow lilies lay 3 deep on the surface, moving at an infinitesimal pace. Where the tributary emptied into the Qualheim, they formed a mushy, meter-high dune on top of the water. Now the scout team headed upriver, keeping close to the northern bank and the paltry cover of the trees. Reza seemed more concerned about lying exposed to the cloud than proximity to possible hostiles on the land. With nothing but the lightly furrowed carpet of snow lilies opening out like an empty 10-lane motorway ahead, the hovercraft began to pick up speed. It was dark on the river, under the center of the cloud band, an occultation which made all the teams switch to infrared vision. The trees blocked any sight of the natural sunlight beyond it. Thunder was a constant companion, booms, slithering up and down the river like the backwash of some vast creature burrowing its way through the vermilion vapor above. Big insects, similar to terrestrial dragonflies but without wings, skipped across the snow lilies, only to be hurled tumbling by the wind of the hovercraft's passage. Venals, burning with a pink-blue radiance of charcoal embers, hung in the branches of the trees, watching the small convoy rush past with wide, soft eyes. Towards the middle of the morning, Reza stood up and signalled the second hovercraft towards the northern bank, where there was a break in the trees. Ariadne rode the craft up the lush grass to a halt next to its twin. Fenton and Ryle were already bounding off into the undergrowth. I didn't want to nativize, Racer said when they all gathered round, and from now on we'll operate a policy of minimal electronic emission.